The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Joined now by the leader of the United States Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Good morning, Mr. Leader. Great to have you back.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
You know, I've probably talked to you 36 times on the air over my 20 years on this show, and I always talk to you about judges, so I'm going to start with judges. And I've got the classic question, what have you done for me lately? You've actually saved the Constitution with 50 appeals court judges, 2 Supreme Court justices, 133 district court judges. But my old state of California just needs Mark Scarcy and Rick Richmond. We need some district court judges, Leader.
Well, we'll work on that. That sounds like, what have you done for me lately?
It is what it is.
Well, look. We're going to do the 51st circuit judge in the Senate today. And at the district judge level, you know, the Democratic senators still have some pull. So the administration's trying to work out some kind of compromise deal, because at the district court level in the Senate, we still, you know, the Democratic senators still have some say in all of that, and the administration is trying to negotiate with Harris and Feinstein, which, as you can imagine, is not easy.
Now, you know, there are some decent Democratic would-be judges like John Flynn in California. Now that Senator Harris isn't running for president, Senator Feinstein has always seemed kind of reasonable on this. Do you think we can get a package to get Rick Richmond renominated, Mark Scarcy confirmed, people like John Flynn nominated? Is that doable in an election year?
I hope so. I have, since I'm, you know, don't try to tell the Judiciary Committee how to run their business. I've basically focused on the circuit judges, where we do not allow the Democratic senators to veto them with the so-called blue slip that you've probably discussed with your audiences before. The blue slip is still alive for district judges, and I'm sure what's going on in California is a negotiation between the White House and Feinstein and Harris at the district court level. And I know that there are a lot of vacancies that need to be filled. But the good news is we've changed the Ninth Circuit in a dramatic way, as you know, and it's no longer, you know, the far-left court that it used to be.
No, I argued before the Ninth Circuit 7 years ago, and I won, amazingly, and I didn't have to go to en banc. It used to be the land of no return if you had to go to an en banc panel in the Ninth Circuit. Now, because of your judges, you actually get a fair shake. You mentioned Andrew Brasher will be confirmed today. I noticed that a nominee from Mississippi was not returned by the White House. Is there any word on that, Leader McConnell, as to whether or not that nominee will be coming back or a new nominee?
No word on that. We have had difficulty filling that seat. There have been some internal differences on the committee over the nominee, and that's still under discussion. But we're certainly not going to let that languish past the end of the year.
Now,
my motto for the year is leave no vacancy behind. That includes district courts as well. And so we're a long way from being finished with doing court confirmations this year.
Any advance word, any inkling of any retirements from the Supreme Court?
No word on that. Nothing other than the rumor mill.
All right. So tell me a little bit about senior status eligible judges. If they retire and announce now, is there still enough time for every senior status eligible judge who takes senior status to have a nominee put forward and confirmed?
Yeah, there still is, and we're going to continue to do that to the end of the year. Obviously, the senior judges need to let the White House know in advance of the actual date so that we can be prepared to move with a new nominee. As I said, my motto for the year is leave no vacancy behind, and that's exactly what I mean.
I think it is also one of President Trump's great calling cards for re-election among a slice of the conservative movement, which is significant. Do you agree with me that there is at least double-digit percentages of Republicans vote on judges and judges alone?
Absolutely. I think the right-of-center world cares a great deal about the courts. They've seen activist judges and what they tend to do for many years. And that's why I think that the decision that I made to leave the Scalia vacancy open until we knew the outcome of the election was widely applauded on the right, had a lot to do with President Trump's solidifying the Republican vote. Many of Republicans at that particular point were skeptical about him, wondered what he'd be like. I think that reassured them, helped him win the election, and he didn't blow the opportunity. Neil Gorsuch has been outstanding, and Brett Kavanaugh as well.
Now, let's talk about the impact of impeachment on your drive to keep a majority intact. There are some vulnerable Republican senators. Martha McSally is a good friend of mine. I will be over there. If I was allowed to campaign, I'd knock on doors, but I work for NBC, so I couldn't for Martha McSally. Cory Gardner, I've known forever, same deal. Susan Collins has more respect from me than almost anyone other than you in the Senate. David Perdue is a great guest. Tom Tillis, a great guest. Five vulnerable Republicans. How are they faring after impeachment, Mitch McConnell?
Well, I think impeachment worked for the Democrats sort of like it did for us back when we impeached Clinton. Clinton's approval rating went up and ours went down, and it's no accident that President Trump is sitting on the best numbers he's had since he was sworn in, and it happened to coincide with their effort to impeach him. Every one of these races that you mentioned are in better shape now than they were when impeachment started. So I think we can safely say in the short term, for sure, that impeachment was a loser for them and a winner for us.
Is there any danger that the energy level fades with time? Because the resistance never seems to ebb and flow. The Republicans seem to get up for a fight like Kavanaugh, the impeachment, and then go back to their business.
Well, you know, passions do ebb and flow, and but I think our people are fired up. I think we're going to see a massive turnout on both sides, and we'll find out on Election Day in November who benefits the most from that. But I think it's going to be a very high turnout election. The stakes are big. The Democrats have never been more different. I mean, their idea of a moderate these days is somebody who's in favor of the public option as opposed to Medicare for All. Well, it's the same thing. It's just a question of how long does it take you to get there? And they've made it very clear. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to expand the number on the Supreme Court and other courts in order to offset what we've been able to accomplish with the last 3 years. So this is genuine radicalism on full display. I mean, the current leading candidate is a self-avowed socialist who went on his honeymoon to the old Soviet Union. Oh, my goodness. That's not Bill Clinton's Democratic Party. That's a new version. And even the ones who style themselves moderates are not by any normal standard moderate at all.
Now, you're up for re-election yourself, Leader McConnell. Have the techniques of campaigning changed in Kentucky like they have everywhere else? Now data-driven deep dives into search engine identification of likely voters. Has that come to Kentucky as well?
Yeah, I think the thing the Democrats have done the best, I have to take my hat off to them, is the online fundraising, the Act Blue fundraising. I did get my opponent, for example, announced and received $5 million in 24 hours from over 200,000 donors. You might say I'm her finance chairman. I mean, they don't have any idea who she is. They know who I am. So they've done a great job of pulling together small-dollar donors online. I think that's a big difference from years ago. We're getting better at it. For your listeners, the website that we use is called WinRed, and it's doing much better. I don't think we'll catch up with them in one cycle, but there are a lot of enthusiastic online donors and Fox News watchers and Hugh Hewitt listeners who also, you know, care whether we win, and they can pick up their iPhone and go to WinRed and give their 10 or 15 bucks to their favorite candidate.
Now, Leader McConnell, going back to a traditional problem, the head of the ticket, the president, has sometimes not meshed well with lower parts of the ticket. Is there that integration this time between the Trump team run by Brad Parscale and the various Senate Leadership Committee and Senate Majority Committee and your committee? Are they all meshed up well, in your opinion?
Yeah, everybody's participating. For example, in the issue I was just talking about, everybody's participating in WinRed, the Trump campaign, the RNC, the senatorial committee, the congressional committee, and our candidates were all in the same space. This Trump campaign is going to be dramatically better run than the last one. He won the last one. So I think they're cutting edge in every part of a modern campaign.
Okay. Now, can I talk to you a bit about debate? Eric Trump started the hour with me. He said there's no way they're going with the Presidential Debate Commission. It's full of anti-Trumpers, even the Republicans. My suggestion is that the president names one, the Democratic nominee names one, and those two agree on a third, and that they just do that three times. What do you think's going to happen with debates in the fall between Donald Trump and whoever they nominate, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, or Mike Bloomberg?
I don't know. The candidates voluntarily participate, so they have some latitude in shaping what it looks like. And that'll be an interesting call for the president and his team as to just what they want to do with debates. And I'm not inclined to predict what's in their best interest in the fall.
What is your assessment of the media generally, Senator McConnell? Has it become more unbalanced than normal? I think there's always been a left-wing bias in the mainstream media, at least the Manhattan Beltway media elites. I think it's become more pronounced. A few people have stood against that. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I think it has gotten worse. I think they suffer from Trump derange syndrome, much like the Democrat majority in the House. They just, can't stand the president, and it affects their behavior. I mean, look at the speaker tearing up the president's speech on television right at the end. That's not the kind of behavior we expect of our public officials. So I think it's also picked up by the left in the media. Yeah, you're right. They've always leaned that way. I think they're more aggressively that way now.
All right, two impeachment questions to finish off the historical record. When the Chief Justice received the question from Elizabeth Warren, he engaged in the Chief Justice Darth Vader stare at someone. Was he staring at Senator Warren?
Well, I think there's no question Elizabeth Warren was trying to get the Supreme Court, get the Chief Justice in the middle of this political maelstrom we were having in the Senate called a trial. And the Chief Justice, of course, did not want to do that. No Chief Justice would be very pleased to be presiding over a trial in a political body like that, even though the Constitution requires it. And I think Chief Justice did a good job of staying out of it.
Now, and the last question, if you had to pick one of those lawyers from the president's team to represent you in a political trial, a lot of great talent there. I have my favorite. Who would you pick?
Gosh, I hate to pick one. I thought they did a fabulous job, Pat Cipollone, Jerry Sekulow. The two deputy White House counsels also did well. It's like asking me which one of my daughters is my favorite, Hugh. I think I liked them all. They did an excellent job.
I'd pick Pat Philbin. I know they all did an excellent job, but I'd pick Pat Philbin, leader. He's exactly what you want in a lawyer, kind of low-key and persuasive, determined, not unlike a lot of people I know, but I'll spare you the second question. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, don't forget those California district judges. Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.